You put the B in LGBT. You put the B in LGBT.
This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to The Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.
Welcome to The Bicast, podcast for the bisexual community. I am Lynette, and Nick Collins is joining me as co-host today. Hello, and our guest is Kathy Renna, managing partner of Target Q. Target Q provides a variety of communication and media services. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you for having me on.
Awesome. And hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing, Lynette?
I'm hanging in there. So, Kathy, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself?
Sure, absolutely. So I've been doing media-related LGBTQ and HIV activism for about 25 years, which I now realize I can say half my life. Yes, and for many of those years, I worked for GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, through the 90s, pretty much, and then I left and worked at a firm for a few years and then went off on my own. And I have been ever since 2002 or so. And it's been great. All my clients are LGBT or HIV focused, and I work on a great diversity of issues, and I do, you know, public relations, communications, media training, strategy. And it's really just, it really is activism though. It's not, I'm not your grandma's publicist.
Exactly. Well, we appreciate you.
Well, thank you.
And can we hear a little more about what Target Q is?
Sure. I mean, we're a pretty small firm. It's myself and I work for a gentleman named Howard Buford, who is a extraordinary pioneer in diversity marketing. We provide the services that I was just talking about to our clients. So, you know, between the two of us, we have decades and decades of experience in both public relations on my side and in advertising and marketing on his side.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. Fantastic. One of the reasons we're chatting with you today is, of course, your company handled all the media coverage and promotion for Bi Week 2015 this year, a huge success. And what did that all involve for you?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I've certainly worked with Binet and Faith and tons of folks in the bi community for years and years, and I was so thrilled this year that the Arcus Foundation funded Bi Awareness Week to actually do some, you know, really more aggressive paid work and have more resources to do what they needed to do. So I got brought on several weeks before Bi Awareness Week, and my main focus was really mainstream LGBT media and social media. And it was really rewarding, I think, to see the results of that. We saw an incredible amount of visibility, particularly in social media, because if you remember, that was the week the Pope was here. So the news media mm-hmm. was slightly wrapped up in that story, but we still managed. But it was really extraordinary to see Bi Week trending on social media as much as it did. We had hundreds of millions of impressions, particularly on Twitter and Facebook. And I think a lot of it was also was ally support, which, you know, is so important and something that as an ally myself, frankly, I've always been very vocal that we don't have enough of that in the LGBT part of the community without mm-hmm. me. And so that was great as well. And then, you know, one wonderful, it wasn't a coincidence, I'm sure it was all planned, but Lorraine Hutchins and Lonnie Karimayu had the 25th anniversary release of By Any Other Name, which, you know, I remember when it came out, and it was a book that really helped educate me and told amazing stories of folks in the bi community. And so it was re-released that same week. So what we did was we partnered with them and their publisher to put out some excerpts from the book, including the foreword, and post them on places like Huffington Post and Advocate.com. So we were able to reach hundreds of thousands of people with some really great stories and really great messages that, you know, I know the book's 25 years old, but they still resonate today.
Yeah, it was very, and that was really awesome. I mean, yeah, it's very relevant. It's one of the first books I read too, and it was like, wow, really opened my eyes. It was really awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they're doing well with it too, with the re-release. So
Yes, they certainly seem to be, and I'm really happy. I mean, Lorraine's and Lonnie were both friends from Washington back in the day when we were all younger, wearing combat boots and, you know, jeans and black leather jackets with lots of zippers. But it was the 90s. But it really is great to see the book have a fresh new life, especially with, you know, so much more conversation, particularly amongst younger people, around the fluidity of sexual orientation, which I'm sort of really thrilled to see, because it's not something that it was an issue that, frankly, we had to bring up. It wasn't just naturally brought up, even within the gay and lesbian activist community for so many years.
Exactly.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I was a little jealous of y'all, because I didn't get a chance to participate in much of the bi-week activity kind of out here in the where nothing much was going on. But, I mean, there was, from what I could see, huge amounts of participation and support this year. And I saw that, you know, even Evan Rachel Wood, you know, did some Twitter threads about bisexuality and bi-erasure, biphobia, and that got just tons of supportive articles and things published on the major news sites and blogs, right, and, you know, all sorts of different stuff. Now, Kathy, in your opinion, do you feel that we've made some positive steps in educating the public and maybe reducing biphobia and, you know, maybe improving visibility?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a process, but, you know, you bring up something really, really important, which is, you know, our culture is very celebrity focused. So when you have somebody like Evan Rachel Wood or Anna Paquin or Margaret Cho or Alan Cumming participating in something like Bi-Week, even if it's just to do a retweet, which we very intentionally and very strategically, you know, reached out to dozens of, it wasn't just me, it was the whole team, reached out to dozens of out by either high profile, you know, actors, actresses, activists, you know, all different walks of life, and asked them to, particularly around social media, push the message out there. And Evan Rachel Wood's a great example, because, you know, we ended up with a story in People magazine. And, you know, what's more mainstream and sits in doctor's offices for months, right, but then People magazine. And
exactly.
But that's what it's all about. I mean, for me, that's what it's all about for every single issue I work on, whether it's trying to educate people about bisexuality or transgender issues or family acceptance or HIV or whatever it is. It's about really real people telling their stories. And we live in a culture where people really feel like they know these celebrities. And so when a celebrity comes out as bi, it makes a difference. It's no longer abstract in someone's eyes. It's more real. And so I think that in and of itself represents a positive step to really reduce biphobia and really educate the public. And, you know, I've always been as I like to joke, an activist that works on politics with a small P, not a capital P. I like, I'm all about cultural change. I'm not, you know, I won't be working on campaigns anytime soon. It's just not my thing. But I really love pop culture. I love the media. And I love seeing the impact that visibility through media can have on people. I mean, short of, you know, us sitting down and having a conversation with somebody face to face, it's really the most powerful tool we have.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, you know, we are a very celebrity kind of oriented. So when it helps having that sort of positivity for us.
Well,
it really did.
Yeah, as I like to, we used to joke at GLAAD, we have celebrities who use their powers for good, not evil. but you know, if I can go, I go to my Twitter feed now, and it's really funny because when I started doing this, I was doing some of the outreach, and now, like, you know, Anna Paquin's following me on Twitter. I have no idea. Ooh. I know, right? Cool. I mean, I'm all about True Blood, so I was like, okay, I'm good. But it's, yeah, it's really nice, because I think there was a back and forth and exchange. And Margaret Cho, Alan Cumming, who I've met several times at events. I mean, these are not people that we're friends with, but they know who we are. They know we're engaged in the community, and they want to use their platform, which they know they have, for better, you know. And I really, in fact, I'll tell you, Alan, when Alan Cumming did his acceptance speech at the GLAAD Awards, this was actually more than a few years ago. I was still at GLAAD, so we're talking at least maybe 10 years ago. He was incredible. It was one of the most moving, powerful acceptance speeches ever. And he talked about being out, being bi, and it really moved this huge audience, many of whom were people in the gay and lesbian community who don't talk about bisexuality or who have, you know, the kind of biphobia that we sometimes see in the community. That's really, to me, the most challenging obstacle.
So I agree. Yeah. It's my dream to get one of those or all of them on my show someday. We'll see. And a lot happened during my week, and the events at Washington, D.C. were amazing. I don't have a question here. I just want to talk about that. People wonder what we did there. And we actually went to the White House and submitted some great public policy papers. And here, I want to bring up what we did there.
Well, I was at the – I was happy to be – I was actually in Washington also for the Pope. Don't ask. I brought my 87-year-old aunt. She's a devout Catholic for her whole life. As she said to me in the car on the way home, I can die now. She got to see the Pope and the President at the White House on the South Lawn. My partner and I were happy to take her. She's lovely. And it was actually a really diverse, far more diverse crowd. I think the President was sending quite the message to the Pope that Catholics don't, you know, they come in all different shapes and sizes and colors and sexual orientations and gender identities in America. So welcome to Washington. But, I also was lucky enough to go to the BiHealth event, which was held at the HRC building.
Yes.
And that was really great because, first of all, HRC kind of put their money where their mouth is. They did a report on bisexual health. They had a ton of materials there for folks. They had several of the staff who are bi and out. They have a poly employee resource group? At HRC?
I think so. Yeah. I think that's what I heard. Yeah.
Super cool.
They really.
I didn't know they had that. That's super cool. And Faith moderated a panel with some really great people, including Lauren Beach, who I met Lauren when she was a point scholar. I will not say how long ago that was. she was in her 20s and I wasn't. But it was really wonderful to see and hear that there's research happening, that there's outreach happening, and that there's education happening at a much more sophisticated level because it's so, so sorely needed.
Yeah, I really felt like HRC came through, and I have a lot of hope for, you know, future collaboration on that.
Mm-hmm.
At the White House, the public policy papers were put together by everybody, really. I think everyone kind of contributed with feedback, but Harry Greensmith, Lauren Beach, and Dr. Harry Kutu were the editors and driving force there. And there was a data collection paper, education, employment and entrepreneurship, HIV prevention, treatment and care, immigration and asylum, mental health and suicide prevention, physical health and violence.
Mm-hmm.
These are all our big problems. And It was exciting. I can't wait till they publish the papers. They're fantastic.
Yeah, I was very sorry I couldn't come in earlier and go to that. I know that Aditi Hardikar, who's the White House liaison to the LGBT community, worked really hard to make that happen and brought together. It was a lot of people, wasn't it? It was like 100 people.
It's over 100 of us.
Yeah.
It was almost a spiritual experience. We named ourselves the Blessing of Bisexuals.
Yeah.
So now and it was.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
It was. It was amazing. I wish everyone could go.
and again, when we talk about visibility, just the I saw the photos after when you all walked across the street from the White House to Lafayette Square, and you know, that's a powerful image. It's a powerful image not just for the larger culture, but for other bi folks who are out there and may feel isolated or not as hopeful as some of us. You know, kind of I'm always a glass half full kind of girl, but like as hopeful about, you know, being able to move forward and really educate people about the issues, which, you know, this has been a long haul. And I think it's so interesting. I have this conversation all the time with people about how many people feel they've seen trans issues move forward really quickly in the last few years, kind of like somebody put their foot on the gas pedal real hard, and that yet mm-hmm. we're still, you know, seeing so much challenge around visibility and education related to bisexuality. And so, you know, I feel like this year we had more of a chance to kind of dig deep and explore a little bit. And hopefully that will continue.
Fantastic.
Definitely. Excuse me. You know, talking about, you know, all these different groups and, you know, organizations that we have that seem to, you know, they put us in their initials, but, you know, they don't quite reach out like we think they should. What advice or what could you tell the gay and lesbian community on how to improve some of these kind of fragile relations between communities right now?
Well, it's really challenging because it's very multifaceted. I mean, as someone who worked within an LGBT non-for-profit for over a decade, as an ally, I had to be a big mouth. I had to advocate. I had to speak up, and I had to point out when something was, whether it was by omission or whether it was by actual, you know, biphobia, that bisexuality wasn't being included or wasn't being discussed, or our sexual orientation wasn't being discussed in a nuanced way. In some ways, I used to always say this when I was at GLAAD, and I still say it with reporters and organizations and clients that I work with, that it's not like we're talking about, you know, gay, straight, bi. We're talking about sexual orientation as a human trait, right? And it helps that I'm a nerd and I have a degree in biology, maybe, I think, but the truth is, like, this is science. It's not, you know, you have to let go of all the preconceptions and the stereotypes about whether it's gay people or straight people or bisexual people, and just understand that for human beings, you know, sexuality is something that it falls on a spectrum. It can be fluid. And it's not, you know, it's not something that's like a light switch that you kind of turn on and off. And educating yourself is the first step, and then being an ally is the next. And if you're bi, being out. I wish that more of the staff in the higher level leadership positions at a lot of these organizations were bi. I don't think there are many at all. Or if they are, they're closeted. It's a really interesting, challenge that, you know, I know that I knew staff at GLAAD who were bi, but who would not identify that way. They would identify as gay or lesbian.
Did they not, the reason I'm going to ask this question is, did they not feel safe being themselves, or?
Well, at the time, I mean, this was well over a decade ago, but still, you know, you would think that in a queer organization, you know, there'd be a higher level of understanding and acceptance, but there wasn't. And I had several, particularly younger staff, like interns and things like that, you know, they sort of saw from above that there was not a lot of acceptance, and they would come out to me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I was like the safe space. I was a little bi.
Yeah.
I had a little bi ally triangle on my door or something. It wasn't really there, but, you know, it was metaphorically there because they saw that I did the work. And that's the other funny thing. I mean, I've just experienced this throughout my career. It's you know, I chuckle, but, like, I've had a gazillion people be like, oh, I didn't know you were bisexual. And I was like, I'm not. And they're like, what do you mean you're not? You must be. You know, like, well, then I must be also transgender and a leather dyke and like 12,000 other things, just because I work with everybody. And I, because I think our diversity is not just a wonderful thing. It's an asset. It's what makes life interesting and enjoyable and complicated.
Exactly.
I don't want my life to be black and white and boring. And so it's really, it's funny, things have changed a lot, but we still have a long ways to go. And that's why I hope, and I've talked to the folks at Biden about this. I think, you know, as we move into, you know, next year's Bi Awareness Week, and even, you know, obviously every day we try and do these things, but particularly when we have opportunities like that, to try to get people to look at it from different perspectives, like from the health perspective, like HRC did, and, you know, to get people to write about things more substantively and to have more people tell their stories. I think that's really, at the end of the day, the most important thing.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. I call that, people telling me, I call that the lean in. I get that a lot. I'm really bi, but don't tell anybody.
Yeah, exactly. It's really, you know, I can compare it to, there are several things. I mean, our community has got plenty of its own challenges and its own isms, but, you know, like I said, when I was at GLAAD, you know, years ago, you could say that, you know, you went out and partied all weekend and you got, you know, drop dead drunk and, you know, you danced on a bar and that was fine. But if you said you went to church, people would look at you like you were nuts. And, you know, I'm not proselytizing any particular religion, but, like, there are people of faith in our community and they were really marginalized for a long time. Yeah. Now we've seen a lot more progress in that regard, which, you know, for me, so that was ironic. I was in Washington and I went to the, you know, the Bi Awareness Week event at HRC. And then the next morning, you know, I was standing there and I could see, you know, other queer Catholics like myself, from Dignity and Janine Gramick and other folks, New Ways Ministries, who were at the White House too for the Pope, you know, so I, who I think, you know, 10 years ago, obviously would not have been invited.
I'm really happy to see like Elio and Deborah and people addressing the issue of queerness and religion, because it is an integral part of many people's lives, not mine. You know, I always have to specify that. Yeah. But, you know, I certainly understand the need for that kind of in bringing that together in people's lives, because, you know, so many people, that's a core part of them. And they've had that pushed out of their lives by their own groups and in the community, too. So, you know, I'm really glad to see that being addressed.
Well, I was really, really lucky to participate in a gathering a few weeks ago with, you know, several it was many, many queer clergy, but several of the more prominent bi activists, like Rabbi Deborah Kolodny, who you were referencing a second ago, who I've known forever from Washington. She's in Portland, Oregon now. And Ibrahim Farhadjé Jones, who was also involved in BiNet years and years ago. And they talked about, they met and gathered to talk about how queer clergy could get more engaged in the Black Lives Matter movement. And, you know, the interesting takeaway from that for me is that it makes so much sense that folks who are in the bi community understand intersectionality more than others, maybe, and get the importance of working across communities, because they've always been sort of in this very challenging space, limbo, in the gay community, in the sort of the larger, more mainstream straight culture, like, you know, where do you fit? And that's gotta be really hard.
Yeah, I think it does give us a very unique perspective, and I certainly enjoy it. It fits with my personality.
Yep.
So, yeah, I know, and I enjoyed having some coffee with you when you were here in town. That was great.
Portland was awesome. It was great to see you and great to meet folks. I actually got some emails from some of the folks that you introduced me to.
Oh, good.
This week. And then I did some awesome, you know, Portland vintage store shopping. And had good coffee. I couldn't do that, you know, before I left. So,
absolutely. Did you find anything good?
I did. I have a cufflink fetish. So, if I'm part of any fetish community, it's cufflinks. There, I've come out about it.
She's come out. Yep, she's come out. She's go. Cufflink fetish. All right. Anything else you'd like to add today, Kathy?
No, I'm really honestly just thrilled, and I have to say to the audience, which I know your audience is probably primarily folks in the bi community, that, you know, there are allies out there. Sometimes they may need a little coaxing. I happen to be a coaxer as well. But, you know, I think that's Judy Shepherd always jokes that, you know, LGBT people are never going to make all the progress we want unless we get straight allies, because there are more allies than there are of us. And I think that's also, you know, it's interestingly true of within the queer community as well. Like, as individual letters, LGBTQI, et cetera. But if we put them all together, you know, we can really, I think, make a bigger difference faster. And so I would encourage you to try and get allies engaged, because it doesn't take that much. You just really need to open up your eyes and tell your stories.
I wholeheartedly agree with you.
Indeed.
You can find out more about Kathy Renna and Target Q when you visit our website. We'll have the links for that. And, of course, that is at www.thebicast.org. I want to remind you all, you are not wrong, you are not broken, and you are not alone. You are just a human being, and you are a bisexual. And other things, too, apparently. Thank you, Kathy. We love you. You come back anytime.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Kathy.
Bye.
The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.